pipes, if you got good beer.
Well, here we are with a few tips to relate. Possibly it's time for the fishing report. Hey, Leaf.
How's it going, Dan?
It's good. It's good. Always nice to see you. I'm super curious about, because I know you get around a lot more than I do, and we got a lot of water running off a lot of different surfaces. Yeah. I'm curious what you've seen out there. You know, there's a kind of hazardous weather outlook, they're calling it, because it's warm at elevation, so that's going to bring a lot of water out of the mountains. And
yeah, just before I came over here, I heard you mentioning that.
Yeah,
it definitely sounds, you know, accurate. It you know, we keep on talking about what this spring and summer might be like, and we keep on trying to make these predictions, and you know, I feel like we were looking pretty good as far as our summer's prospects for water. But then I've always had these gauges of, you know, what seasons are going to be like in the season before. Like, for instance, in April, I find that if you're down to just the snowbanks that were the high berms that were pushed, you know, by the plow, mm-hmm. And there's no more standing snow pretty much anywhere, then you're probably going to have a pretty dry and dusty summer. And it was looking like we were going to get into April with standing snow until last week, when all of a sudden it just went right into the ground and into the river. So, mm-hmm. You know, I've never liked to prognosticate on that end. I'm a fish guy, not a weather guy, but I feel like fully giving up on any kind of predicting.
Yeah, I know.
As far as this weather goes.
But it is interesting to watch.
I mean, sure
is. There's just all kinds of things. I mean, you came in earlier. We were talking about Frost Road washing out. I'd heard a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen it.
Yeah, I went up there, you know, just doing my usual round of recon, try to check a couple of these lakes, you know, weekly, and just try to see what's going on. And that's one I was looking forward to, hopefully getting in there as one of my first spring lowland lake opportunities. Mm-hmm. And man, yeah, that place, it looks like it's a quagmire. It's crazy. There's some piping that pipes water into that lake, and I've seen it push water in there before pretty good, but holy cow, I don't know what the amount is that's going in the lower end. I mean, judging from the water I see when I work at the hatchery and stuff, I mean, this has got to be somewhere on the order of 500 to 1,000 gallons a minute that's cranking into the bottom of this lake, and you can see this giant churning boil just kind of right there by the dam, and it's, of course, just like stirring up the entire bottom of the lake, never mm-hmm. mind whatever else has come from, you know, above ground. It's just pumping and churning the bottom of the lake, and that's probably not good right there as far as water quality, and then you mm-hmm. add in the effects of the chemical rebalancing from that fire and all the ash and everything. And yeah, it, like many other lakes around here, is trying to overflow its banks.
Yeah.
And that's just been something I've never really seen with some of these.
Yeah, I know. It looks like we've got, at least at this point in time, a good week of warm.
Yeah.
So we're probably going to see more of it.
Stay on your toes. And
absolutely.
Listen to the root and listen for that music that's going to tell you something's about to hit the fan.
You know, I can't use that music for anything else anymore.
I hear it now and I'm like, oh, God, what happened?
Yeah, listen up. Listen up.
Yeah.
So I'm... I know we want to go over and check on the Lahontan.
Sure. Let's not leave the valley yet.
Yeah. What else have you seen?
Well,
valley wise.
You know, I mean, it's this time of the year is when I would be heading out and checking out Frost for one. Obviously, not going to be probably doing that, but Davis Lake was one of the first places I went last year. I remember mm-hmm. I went in there with Finley and my boy and Thomas, and we had a good time fishing there. So that's a year rounder. So that's an option mm-hmm. for your early fix on some fishing here. And then I got a great report from our friend Laura Love. Mm-hmm. She was over there fishing Leader Lake, and she said she had a great time there. And I could believe that would be a good place to start, because you just have so many, like we've talked about. It's a grab-bagger lake with the probably going to be waking up those crappies and those bluegills just as much as the rainbow now too, and pretty soon, because it's warmer over there and we forget, the bass will start to turn on at that lake too.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, we're kind of on the shoulder season. They're kind of over the shoulder.
Oh, they're
a
in
bit.
Bloom over there.
Yeah,
you know, yeah, and you can definitely see that segue as you're heading over to OMAC. And we,
good one.
You know, I went there with my friend Sarah, who guided with me last summer, and we braved the detour and found our way down to Calpi Beach, which now you take this Krumbacher Lake Road or Krumbacher Loop Road down that way, and you can it kind of parallels the OMAC Lake Road, and then it takes you up over those hills that are to the west of the lake itself, down towards the south end of them, down towards Bridgeport. So it is a little ways. I don't know. It probably took us an additional half an hour at least to get to the lake. Mm-hmm. And it's mostly about halfway out, it's paved road on Krumbacher, and then it turns into a pretty decent dirt road that does kind of get a little narrow, though, with some blind corners as you get up on top of that plateau. But man, the scenery was just gorgeous. It's you know, probably going to be brown up there in the summertime, I'm sure, but right now it's so green, mm-hmm. and got those giant erratic boulders up there on top that are kind of like up by Grand Coulee and everything, uh-huh. you know, the big basalt ones that are just look like a house up there, and they're just all thrown out there in random spots, and cool little rocky canyons and coulees and just numerous lakes up there. And it was a nice sightseeing tour getting over there.
Was it windy?
No, there was no wind, and it was just scorching sun. So we ended up dropping the waders and going with just the quick dry pants and boots and wet wading it, and it was really really nice.
Well, they're really over the shoulder season.
Yeah, it's too hot for anything like that right now over there. We just with you know, you kind of put on a little bit of miles walking up and down, and it always pays to move a little bit, because you're kind of working one handful of fish in this zone, and you'll kind of get through mm-hmm. them and work the next handful, and you'll cover a few miles if you're doing it right. And so yeah, you definitely don't want to be sweating.
So schools of fish, what did you see?
We saw groups of three and four at the most, a couple twos and threes, but you know, it's starting to get really fun. I'm looking forward to going back there. Gosh, probably going to be at least weekly now. Okay. And, you know, end of the month, it should be when it gets really crazy.
And just to remind folks, we're talking about Lahontans, kind of a unique fish population over there.
And, you know, the part of the draw for me to Calpi Beach is it's this just big flat, kind of like they'd be working in the tropics for bonefish and in the salt and everything, where it's almost a consistent, 2 to 6 foot deep for a lot of it. So you can see them coming from a long ways. They can see you casting too, for that matter. But I just really enjoy the, you can kind of look at the scenery while you're kind of working your bug, look around for fish, look at the scenery while you're working your bug. And it's a very easy place to meditate on the experience of fishing. It's so nice.
And it sounds like you saw some unique behavior as well.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. You know, I had heard from some friends that had been over there in the days before that they were doing like this orca whale style attack on these fingerling and fry Lahontans. And then there's also, you know, some chub minnows and some whitefish in there. And they were actually beaching themselves in some cases, going after these fish. And they would have a, you know, 6-8 inch fish hanging out of their mouth as people were catching them, or they'd be barfing minnows on them. So it, I guess, was a pretty intense few days. And I think that was because the truck had planted up there at Beer Can Beach, the first beach you come to. And so they were just kind of gorging themselves on those for a few days. But as a, you know, result of that, it looks like they kind of got packed. And my buddy Bob said when he came around Sunday, the day after Sarah and I were there, they were just acting so full that they wouldn't even touch a real minnow that was wounded and swimming around in circles. They just kind of ignore it if it just was too much work to eat anything more.
They're just full.
But, you know, we didn't experience that at Calpi as far as the fish that were refusing. They were going for it. And my friend Corey, though, he did show me a picture of a fish just with a it looked like a whitefish hanging out of its mouth, out of a Lahontan's mouth, that he had caught. So it's obviously, you know, like we were talking about, I think they're trying to clear out those potential spawning grounds of any possible egg eaters or competition in that way. And you know, just makes for a handy meal too.
Well, that's the thing that you notice with fish. They have an automatic predator gene going on in their brain, and if it's in the way, like you said, they're even though they're not going to successfully spawn, they're going to act like they're ready to
spawn. They're going to do everything they can until they just can't. That's how fish are. But, you know, don't forget, when you go over there, definitely bring the sun clothes and bring the sun block, because you will get scorched if you don't. It's better to cover up with clothing than even use the sunblock over there, because you're going to spend so many hours in that direct sunlight. Yeah. It's like no other place that I fish in that regard. I mean, you come back with your eyes kind of
cooked.
Yeah, a little bit cooked, even with glasses on. So just let that be a warning. And if you need to grab your res permit, you can go to North 40 now too, not just Walmart. I would definitely go to North 40, because then you can go pick up some bugs too and get some advice on where to fish. And if you need any more advice, you can check out our blog and the podcast at Fly Fishers Pro Shop. Or if you'd like to drop me an email, just drop me a line at methowfishingadventures@gmail.com, or give me a call at 509-429-7298. We'll get you out on the water. We'll get in some fun and get in some fish so we can get our fish right on.
Took on down to my favorite fishing hole. What you think that brother mine did do? Caught a 7-pound perch on the bottom, creamy got it. Nah, I took him on the mama, say it's real gone. Come on, this pole and his line. He was going fishing, and my mama's going fishing, and the baby going fishing too.